Yeah, warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stand up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort.
Okay, keep on rolling here. We got a few more things we want to hit on. I do want to let the good listener know before we get into this beer. Rob's not going to wait. We have a guest coming in later this week who could be pretty interesting. We'll see. Our man Chris Hoffley coming back. Well, we'll see how into things he wants to get. Recently departed from OSEG, so Hoff will be here later in the week. It's been, I think, only a couple of months. I think he was in over the winter at some point, but lots of changes in Hoff's world since then, so we'll get into that. What are you doling out over there?
I'm drinking the McLean's Original. Hmm. It's their original recipe.
Original?
Pale Ale. Coming in at a very pedestrian 5%. But I'm getting that lovely, you know, the beer aroma of just a straight up doubling back to your youth when you'd smell a beer and you'd be like, oh, that's what I've come to probably understand to be yeasty sort of, you know, but that's kind of what I'm getting from this in terms of the one. But it is, I was looking for the color too, right? I want it as a pale.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Not too light. It's not
as light. Well, we've talked about this, right? Like the pale ales can sort of be all over the map a little bit. Maybe to circle all the way back to your SRMs.
Right.
Maybe to be handy here more than the IBU would be.
But right now it's got a little bit of, it's a little bit of hazy.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a nice, it's 89 degrees here in the studio. So I was looking for something a little lighter and a little crisper, but yeah, it has that really, really beer flavor. And I it's not a good descriptor, but
that this beer tastes like beer.
Yeah. Well, and it's beer in the truest sense, right? Beer in the sense of when we first started drinking beer and you go, yeah, it's a beer. I don't love that. Or I love that. Or
were you one of those kids, like when you were young, that had asked dad, can I try your beer, and then hated it?
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And so back in the day, here you go, kids, getting your way back before remotes, when you had to get up and snap the channel on the TV. And Hockey Night in Canada started every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Are you serious?
I'm getting sick of that now.
Yeah, no, it sucks. But so as a young kid,
I'm tired.
Yeah, as seven or whatever, yeah. I would only be allowed to stay up for the first period.
Right.
Then it would be bedtime. But my dad would always crack a stubby or whatever. And,
yeah, okay.
And I would get it in a little egg cup, like a little small cup that would maybe hold 2 ounces. And he'd pour a little.
So this was like a regular thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little, hey, just, you know, nothing, you know, it's 2 sips, really.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, woo, I'm a big guy. That's gross.
Yeah, see, this was never that regular. There was no tradition when I would ask dad or whatever. Every couple of months, I don't know why, you'd just go up, can I try some of your beer? He'd just hand me the can, take a sip off it. And be like,
it's warm. How long have you been holding on to that, dad?
Trust me, they were never around long enough to warm up. No. But I'd take a sip of that and go, ugh.
Yeah.
And just give it back to him.
No, dad would crack a beer.
I think that was parenting 101. Just make sure he remembers that he hates it.
And yep.
Now, at the time, you're young enough. It's not like you were going to go stealing them anyway. But the longer he keeps in his head that he doesn't like it, the longer he'll stay the hell out of my fridge. And that bubble burst at some point.
Yeah. But well, and because the idea is when you first start drinking, you're not drinking because you enjoy the beer.
You're drinking because you enjoy the outcome.
I want to get shit-faced. Yeah. And so that's the deal, right? Yeah. Otherwise, nobody's drinking straight tequila or Apple Jacks or whatever else it is. You know, Jack Daniels and apple juice. Like, get out of here with that. Nobody's really drinking that shit.
Right.
Unless you want the outcome to be, you know, I'm going to smash this empty bottle over the top of my own head.
I'd really like to vomit later on.
Yeah, or I wouldn't, but I feel the strong need.
Since Rob didn't bother to ask me, this beer over here is called the... I know that about. This is the Drifter Pale Ale from the Muskoka Brewing Company. I thought I had tried most things from Muskoka. I'm not sure I'd seen this one before. Coming in just over 5%. A lot of the, and it says right there in the description, a lot of notes of the stone fruit, right? This is pretty citrusy. Yeah.
Plum.
Getting a little apricot or something nice. From it. Yeah.
Very distinct.
It is pretty nice. Okay. So this one's going down pretty well.
It's called the Grifter.
Perfect. The Drifter. Perfect for a 1,000-degree day in the TCA.
Yeah,
studio.
For sure, man.
Three hits from the Ontario hockey teams. If you got anything on them, we'll touch on it. If not, we'll wave at them and keep going. The momentum seems to be building behind Jacob Chychrun being the guy that either has to go or
his
is going to go.
His exit interview sort of helped that along.
Yeah, and the fan base, maybe because of that exit interview, but seems to be willing to, anytime you talk about a core piece or a major piece is going to have to go to fix this, seems to be getting behind that. Pierre LeBrun reported late last week that conversations have not yet started with Max Domi in Toronto, but that it would likely take 5 or 6 years at $5 or $6 million to get that done.
I hope that happens.
That's the right reaction. Is that laugh?
That's my sport goofy.
Yeah. And Dave Pagnotta of the fourth period reporting conversations haven't yet happened with Mitch Marner, but that his sources are telling him he'd prefer to stay. Any of those, I don't know, ring a bell for you, do anything for you? Some of it's not overly surprising. Some of
yeah, it's... no, the Marner thing, that's atrocious and ridiculous.
That he wants to stay?
No, sorry.
The Domi thing.
The Domi thing, yeah, exactly. I said Marner, but I was thinking Domi.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt that Marner wanders, and he said as much. And I believe, if nothing else, he feels that, and yep. It also puts the pressure on the organization off of him, right? No, I want to be here. I'm a Toronto guy. I like it here. I'm good with the pressure. I want to win here. It balls in your court.
Yeah.
Tree living. And then, yeah, so...
The Domi one for me, just before we move on to Chychrun, is... He's coming off 1 year at $3 million, a show-me contract, where he finished below his career norms, finished with fewer points than he did the year before in Chicago, and that's with getting to play half the year with, you know, Toronto's forwards. Yeah. I don't understand for the life of me where you got either that amount of term or that amount of money. See ya, if that's
so what is
laughable.
Would you re-sign him at three?
If he wanted to come back for 3 years, I might even do, like, 3.5 for 2 years or something. The cap's going up. He's going to want to be compensated for that. But I'm not committing to that guy. He's bounced around all over the place.
That guy has played for Arizona, Montreal, Columbus.
Chicago.
Carolina.
Remember that?
No, I don't.
So
and Toronto, like, to me,
the reason I would
that
be
guy
somewhat,
for less money.
The reason I would be somewhat interested in keeping him is if you're trading Marner, I do like the idea that this guy is sort of Marner very, very, very light. And... Yeah, but he played with Matthews
alcohol
in the second
free
half.
Beer.
But he played with Marner or with Matthews the second half of the year, and they had some chemistry. He was able to sort of find Matthews similarly to
yeah.
So,
but that doesn't mean I have to give him half Marner's money.
No. I'm still not going over 3.5, and I'm not committing any term. And I get it why he would be looking for stability. He's bounced around, as you just rightly pointed out, all over the place.
You don't deserve stability.
No,
there's nothing you've shown me.
Like I said, that 1 year, $3 million was a show-me contract, and you didn't show me. You finished below your career
norm. Oh, you showed me.
Yeah.
You showed me. It's what I do with the signs.
Right.
It's clearly. It's right there.
Yeah.
You've showed me.
5%.
And I'm going Johnny High Voice.
So Pierre LeBrun doing some heavy lifting for somebody out there.
For Ty.
I guess so.
Ty's leaning on him. They're at the buffet
I'll
together.
See you outside if you don't.
Hey, just in that vein. Sort of a lateral move with the Craig Berube announcement. I'm super interested. We don't need to get into this. I know you've broken it down. I was looking up different things.
They've broken me down.
Craig Berube's career coaching record.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right? He's 280, 190, 72, somewhere in that range, right? That's.
Yep.
Tell me what you think of this, and it's got nothing to do with his coaching. It has to do with, so he's got 30, almost 3,200 career PIMs.
Yep.
Played between 86 and 03, played over 1,000 games.
I don't remember him playing that late. That's wild.
So the stat at the top of the Wikipedia page, I'm just going to hit you with this stat. Craig Berube is the least productive player in NHL history to play at least 1,000 games. Now, is that a pro or is that a con? I don't know. What are you telling me with that?
What you're saying to me is... Leafs, sign that guy. He's been around a long time. He's got some experience. He's going to... Yeah, okay.
But I am the least... Yeah. But I've played 1,000 games. Fuck you, man. You don't get to kick
shit. Oh, no. If I'm him,
ring.
It's a pro. Look at,
yeah.
I found a way to carve out a career, make some money. Good for you, man. But yeah, in terms of the way the rest of us look at him, that's up for some debate.
And it's the first thing that comes up is like, Craig Berube is the least productive player to play at least 1,000 games. And you're like, I played 1,000 games.
It reminds me of two names, and perhaps not surprisingly, both with Maple Leaf ties, Curtis Joseph and Paul Maurice. Both way up there in number of all-time wins and way up there in number of all-time losses.
Yeah.
You hang around long enough and you're going to climb that list pretty good. And
but somebody found me to be good enough to play for almost 1,100 games.
Yeah.
That's a lot of face punching too.
Sure.
And I don't just mean him punching other people's faces.
Yeah. Having his face.
His face. So to me, he is a test.
He is wearing that.
Yeah, but when you listen to him,
it's a nice
and,
suit, but...
and yeah, but what's with that turnip hanging at the top? But he's done amazingly well. When you look at contemporaries of his who have had all kinds of mental health and physical issues, Craig Berube has stood the test of time and seems to have...
Decline begins behind the Leafs bench.
It always does,
certainly.
Man. It always does.
Mental or otherwise.
So, but that to me was the takeaway was the least productive player in NHL history with 1,000 games.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm taking that as whoever wrote that, double guns to you, my friend. I played 1,000 games. How many did you play?
Right. You're out here writing tweets about it.
Yeah, and I'm dropping that on you right now. I know that's but one of those things. But.
Yeah. I've already sort of made my point on him. He's Brad Treliving. He's whatever. He's a guy. He's out there. He's mid.
Yeah.
Jacob Chikrin.
He's mid. Yeah. But just to finish that, and I don't have anything new or interesting to say on it, but I will say something.
But I'd like to talk anyway.
All that talk of him coming to Ottawa, and I was interested, right? But it's the name.
Yeah.
But then there was also in the back of my head, I'm like, I don't know, like really he had the cup year and then.
Yep.
So I don't know what he is. I think it's
only won one round two other times, I believe.
And so I understand the hiring and I would have, it's one of those things where I would have liked him to sign with Ottawa.
Sure.
But then I would have also had some concerns.
Yeah.
Once it happens.
He's probably the best name out there, but it doesn't mean it was it's a big list because half the league's been fired.
Yeah. And so I am super interested to see how the whole thing shakes out in terms of how his sort of personality meshes with Leaf core personality. Because there's a better than even chance that core comes back again.
Whew.
Am I right, buddy? Am I right?
It's on the table.
It's on the table. There's so much on the table.
And that's good, because we'll need things to talk about when we're refusing to talk about the Blue Jays throughout the summer. Chikrin, the Ottawa core, it seems like, I remember saying at the beginning of last year, Batherson's the guy that's got to bounce back. And he, in the first half of the season, just wasn't doing it. Now, he did have a much better second half.
He's a Jacques Martin guy.
It does feel like Jacques Martin, maybe more than anybody else. Drake Batherson was the guy that he got through to, so... I wouldn't take it completely off the table, but that's not a name I would be actively shopping now.
That's 30 goals you got
to
replace.
Right. And so, no one wants to move on from Stützle yet. Brady's your captain, your heart and soul. You're not wanting to do anything there. And, Norris, you're not going to be able to do anything
Norris
with it.
Norris was
the
guy
moment.
For me, and then he got hurt again.
Yeah. So you start to move to the back end, because I don't think Pinto is, going to cost you any... great amount of money, so I think you just do that and ride with it, and I think he'll be fine. And so now you move to the back end, and Sanderson, young enough and with pedigree enough that you're not even interested in talking about him. And so it comes down to Shabbat and Chikrin, and it seems like most people have settled on, okay, well, Chikrin's the piece we're going to deal, and he's got a year left on his contract. It is not an onerous contract. It's
4.6, 4.9.
Yeah. Like so, and he's easily worth that. Is that the piece you're looking to ship out to get something done?
Yeah. And so to me it is, and I've spent well, the second half of the season on this podcast talking about flipping and flopping and flipping and flopping, right, between Chabot and Chychrun. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going to be a Team Shabby guy in my heart, right? Like, to me, Chabot is – I got a soft spot for him. He's been around forever. And you always look at what the ceiling mm-hmm. could be with him. Hasn't been. To me, he's older. He makes way more cash. Chychrun is the commodity that is more easily moved.
Yeah.
And so whatever I think in terms of who you'd like to, I like Chabot's ceiling more. They both make gaffes defensively, but I just at the end.
I feel like you watch these guys closer than I do. I feel like Chabot hasn't just leveled off. He's taken a step back.
100%. Yeah. Yep. You're not wrong.
And so I don't know if that makes him harder.
Yes, of course it does.
Sure. But and you're right to slap that down. I don't know why I threw it out that way. But he reminds me a little, and this is probably premature, but by the time the Leafs traded Thomas Caberle, he had just been around so much losing. It was easy to sort of be like, well, whatever on certain plays. And by the time he got to Boston,
they won.
And with him barely playing, they had moved him down to the third pair, and he was being healthy scratched some nights, and he was never he was out of the league in like 2 years after that.
But they won.
I don't think it was because of Thomas Caberle.
You sure about that?
Well, just to drive the stake through Leaf fans' hearts, it was obviously wherever we were going to send him. But do you know what I'm driving at, though? That has Chabot just...
Thomas Caberle and Ray Romano.
That's a way back email you sent me in like 2009.
It's like separated at birth.
There
right?
it is. Ray Romano and Thomas Caberle. But with Chabot, has he regressed because he cares less? He's been poorly coached. He's just lost for too long. Needs a change of scenery? Or, you know, in theory, is Travis Green the guy that gets him back moving in the right direction? I don't know, man. I'd be worried about his psyche at this point or...
Way too many of those things you listed off, probably true. I would say the one that isn't true is he doesn't care enough.
Okay.
And but to me, everything else is on that proverbial table that keep referencing, right? The amount of losing, the being overplayed,
yes.
Not being coached properly, not being forced to play a certain way or play properly. Mm-hmm. And I think you can't stress enough not having enough support and being overplayed, right? And where the coaching comes in with that. And they just stayed a year and a half too long with DJ. And honestly, we were in the pandemic still doing remotes. And I'm railing about firing that guy, right? And so...
Like 2 years into his tenure.
Yeah, okay. But that's the guy you hire to fire.
Yeah.
And so...
Or not.
Yeah, or not. And sadly, that's the problem,
right? That's the guy
problem,
we hired
right?
to resign.
And you just go... He needed to be 3 years in, help with the young guys, bam, help somebody nurture them now beyond that. So to me, it's Chabot is, we'll see, but you're trading Chychrun because he is more tradable, not because he's better,
right?
But because he is more attractive.
All things being equal.
Both due to salary and Chabot's play, right? To me, both of those things are heavy on the con in terms of somebody wanting to pick that up. Like, he's a Flyer guy. I mean, you could take a flyer on him.
Right.
But
he's
not
going to Philly.
But not with that. Yeah, sorry. Not with that term.
Yeah.
You know, or the value. It's just there's too much. So Ottawa stuck with him. So you're kind of forced there.
And your phrasing is correct. They're stuck with him. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a disaster. Maybe Travis Green is the guy who gets him going again, and it does rebound, and he gets back up to speed. But for now... He's far less valuable on the trade block, so you keep him.
There's two things at the end of the season, and we'll take those away from this, is we talked about Drake under Jacques Martin, and Drake saying, in an aside, almost a throwaway comment, yeah, I want to be coached. Hmm. I want to be coached. And so they were talking about, you know, his progress and his improvement and the great second half. And that was something he offered up on his own. Shabby on the exit interview said, yeah, we need to be held accountable. That's something he's saying.
Right.
So to me, that's a pretty damning couple of statements, whether they were, I think Shabbat's was more thrown out with intention.
Right.
That this needs to move forward with this group. The Batherson thing, I think, was a little bit more of a self-reflection, unlooked for kind of, I've revealed something without being asked.
Sure. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I'm not sure if you saw the details come out over the last few days about the PWHL draft. And I thought it was fascinating because I wondered how you were going to do this. You just filled out all these rosters a year ago, and you're not yet at a point where you've got even close to everybody in, right? There was a lot of Europeans who had signed pro contracts already in Europe right. by the time this league was done. A lot of people who didn't know it was coming and had committed to other things. Like, we've seen that Nora Ratu, who was the Swiss goalie for a long time, one of the best, but she's 35, but she wants to come play in this thing. Yeah. What's the interest level in that going to be?
Think of Vladislav Tretiak later in his career.
Sure. Amanda Kessel was working for the Penguins as a special assistant to the GM, didn't play last year. At 32, you're going to drop somebody like that into a lineup. That's a top-line winger coming out of nowhere in the PWHL that could, you know, literally change the outlook.
Although Vancouver thought best of it.
Well,
looked away from
not it. All Kessels are created equally. They've announced it's going to be seven rounds again this year. And it's not, you know, the interesting part to me is that it's not like the NHL, where these are all kids and we have development leagues that we can send you. Like, there's going to be, 42 draft picks out of 160 people who've declared for the draft. A lot of them are just going to be told, go home, right? Like, we got nothing for you. Go do whatever else you were going to do before that. And at seven rounds, you know, you've got the young players who are just becoming eligible, and then the ones, like I mentioned, who got out of European pro leagues, your Amanda Kessels and your Nora Ratus and those sorts of people. Like, you could have, I don't know, a third of some of these teams who played this year be replaced by options available in the draft. Like, it's a really interesting time
yep.
in the league's development, and that's what's caught my attention here, is that, yeah, everybody's going to get seven picks, and you could seriously turn over your roster, which is not the case in the NHL, right? Obviously, these are young kids. You're going to send them places to develop and whatever else. The league's in an odd spot right now.
Where do you send them?
Nowhere.
Well, and to me, that
I just meant in the NHL, you'd send them back to junior or the AHL.
Or the AHL. Yeah. And so, to me, that is next step. Before they ever go to expand to a larger, you know, beyond six.
Yeah.
To me, you need to go with your version of the AHL. They need to go with, like, the Toronto Six or whatever that is, the D League. Or.
But it's tough, right? Because it's money. And I know that it's not just for the teams. And will you sell as many tickets for a B League at this point?
Of course you won't.
And it's not like the players in the PWHL are making huge money. What is a step down from that will make those players willing to go to your development league?
Well, I think it comes down to back in the day when people were playing in the AHL, the Don Cherry, the 60s era AHL, where I sold cars in the summertime and I played for the Springfield Indians in the winter, right? There were NHL guys in those days who were
still CFL players
and so, other jobs. So to me, it just means where your league is at. Doesn't mean you can't aspire to more.
Sure.
But that, you have a league that maybe more closely reflects the CWHL before or something along those lines, where maybe somebody is still working at a Home Depot with a playing career for the Calgary Fire or whatever it is, right? And so I think you need to have some kind of developmental league to go to.
And they have said that is a priority for them. There were different management members when all of this was announced over the last week or so, what this year's draft is going to look like, that is a priority for them, is to find somewhere else for...
Because there will always be women who play NCAA who get drafted and then don't come to training camps.
You're not allowed in the PWHL until you're done college. You can't declare for the draft. So it is slightly different. And that has to be streamlined as well.
But
what are the rules?
I'm not sure that stays like that forever.
No, it won't. No, you're right about that. But for now, those are the rules. And so I just find this really interesting. Like, and I know I keep going back to this name because it's a one-off and we're still early in this thing. But Amanda Kessel, you're going to draft a multiple-time Olympian, a point leader at all kinds of world championships. That's your top line right winger.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Like, that is franchise changing at the draft. And so she's 32 years old. And I'm curious, for a team like New York, who that's a big market that had some trouble. They were playing on Long Island. They were playing in Connecticut. They were playing in New Jersey. Hard to draw a fan base when you're constantly moving around. They end up finishing last. Would you go to, you know, the consensus number one is Sarah Filliere, right? Who's by all accounts supposed to be the next Poulin, no pressure. Yeah. You take her fresh out of college, the young star you build around, or do you try and boost your franchise right away with an Amanda Kessel who can come in and maybe get you going next year and maybe right into a playoff spot?
Well, and I clearly don't know enough about.
Well, neither one of us do.
Right. But I have seen enough of Sarah Filliere to know.
Yeah, you take that.
I'm taking her first. And I'm taking all the runway in front of her and her already existing skill level.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I guess my question would be, what type of team goes and gets Amanda Kessel? Is it one of the teams that already went to the final that would maybe, you know, and how early would you do it? She's 32, right? This is a consideration. The bulk of her career is behind her, but she's still incredibly capable of filling the net for somebody. If you are one of the teams that made the playoffs or is in the final here, how early do you jump? What type of team is the right team to do it? There is some talk, you know, she'd prefer to stay in the U.S., which isn't overly surprising, but Boston and Minnesota are both in the finals.
Yep.
I don't know where, like, Nora Ratu at 35 at her best was one of the top 2-3 goalies in the world. Where do you slot that in? If you are getting ready to draft, I'd really rather just take one of these young players I can have for a long time, or I need to boost my market. I need to boost my competitiveness. It's interesting.
If I can double back to the New York, to the New York franchise, they are not either an Amanda Kessel or a Sarah Filliere.
No.
Away from having big headline splashes.
No.
So
it's a tough
market to crack with all that's going on there.
Multiple NFL teams, multiple NBA teams, multiple NHL teams.
Multiples.
You got NWSL already in there, WNBA already in there. It's tough going.
It is tough. And so you got to find a place first where you can find a niche. Like Ottawa's going to get the Ottawa Black Bear.
Yeah.
Right? Lacrosse.
Yep.
Trying to find its way in New York and just couldn't, right? In terms of.
How do you
of,
not support the market and go the Ottawa Red Black Bear? Come on. Just do it.
No.
Okay. Back to Rob.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I don't like it. Okay. It's terrible, Matt.
Probably not.
Correct, Alfie. that they need more than that, and they may never reach it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, to me, you take the best player if you're New York and you just go, and I want 15 years of Sarah Filliere over 4 years of Amanda Kessel.
Yeah. As far as Ottawa goes, they're going to pick second overall. And maybe
not Amanda Kessel.
Probably not Amanda Kessel. But
although if New York did, hey,
well, if
Ottawa was Sarah Filliere, come on, that okay would be that. Awesome.
There's some interesting names here. Maybe just for Sens fans briefly. There is a Dara Gregg and a Mae Batherson in the draft. Sisters of current senators.
I want Ridley's sister. If she's anything like him.
She loves to hammer a slap shot into an empty net. She's all about it.
Well, all those, whatever it
Where's
is.
Where's Morgan Riley's sister? Get her.
Who hasn't said that once or twice?
Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
No, but to me, you gotta love that personality.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know enough about where these, it doesn't sound like either one of them are anywhere near being second overall, but maybe later on, if you could grab one of them, kind of fun in the market
to
have
seven rounds.
Sure. So that could be fun. But in terms of names, that are likely to be in the mix for Ottawa at two, it's Danielle Sir Dakny, who scored the overtime winner for Team Canada, actually just put up over 250 points in 180 games in her college career.
Not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Coming out of Colgate, so you know she's probably got good teeth. That's good to have around the team.
Fluoride.
Yeah, it's great.
Pro fluoride over here.
Yeah. And then you got two defenders with Claire Thompson and...
Fuck me.
Caleb Barnes. So two defenders. Ottawa leaned heavy on the D in the draft last year, which I thought was a really good strategy. And yet throughout the season, it kind of got chipped away at. You traded away Amanda Bouillé, and by the end, Zoe Boyd was hurt. And that strength had sort of dwindled on you. I don't know. One of the things about Sir Dakny is that she loves to go to the net. She's like a rebound hound. Not afraid to play kind of physical. To me, that screams sort of what Ottawa needs a little bit, right? Didn't have that finish. Created a lot of chances. But I do like the idea of two talented young defenders like that. It sounds like you're sort of where I am, that I would take the center. But do you think there's reason to... going D is never a terrible idea.
Well, and yeah, I'm going towards the center big time.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, if you look at... with what they have, this is already a league where it's a 2-1 league. And you're not scoring. The goalies have so far got out of the gates ahead of the offense. So if you can get somebody who goes to the net, doesn't mind the greasy goal, that screams what Ottawa needs when at the end they just couldn't finish enough.
Yep. No, Breanne Jenner was struggling. Like, she put up her points, but like, your Akani Shigas weren't getting close enough to the net. Like, you had trouble getting in and really. So maybe that is the pushes everybody down in your lineup, allows your top six to shake loose a little bit, and you can rely on, there's going to be a lot of turnover anyway, I believe, because of the way the league came together last year. Ottawa only has 9 players under contract for next year. Yeah, so how many of them are bringing back? Yeah. But I would go that way as well. It just looks like somebody you can drop right in there as a top two center for the next however many years and hope for the best. Anything else you wanted to get to on this one, man?
Nope.
Yeah. It's pretty warm.
How was that beer, though?
Really nice. This is a, like I said, kind of citrusy, fruity, perfect for the season that we're moving into here. You're already seeing it as you look around at some of the breweries and the LCBOs. The stouts are dwindling a little, right? Harder and harder to find. I'll find them, but they're becoming more rare. You were good with yours, sir?
Yeah. Although, it had way more personality for a pale ale than I would really have. Now, I did pour it into the same glass without rinsing it that I had the lagered amber ale.
Yeah, that's on you.
It's totally on me.
Yeah.
But I kind of like whatever it turned out. But it certainly has a bit more teeth to it at the end. Okay. So I don't mind that. I don't mind that in terms of, what I was expecting to be a very pedestrian sort of pale ale is turned out to have much more... personality.
Okay.
Yo, care warriors and checking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're